When I was in my early 20s, newly graduated from the University of Southern California, I decided I didn't want to get married. Most of the men I had met seemed like boys, young and silly. I worked as a special ed teacher in Phoenix, and I wanted to help people, not spend my time at parties where all the young men seemed more interested in drinking and showing off than doing something important with their lives. Maybe I was just traveling in the wrong circles, but marriage seemed like it would take me away from being serious, making the kind of difference I felt I made every time I stepped into the classroom. Then on a trip to Hawaii with my parents, I met John McCain. He was there as a naval liaison officer for a group of U.S. senators heading to China. President Nixon had made his famous trip to China just a few years earlier, and so this was a politically charged mission. And the group, with John as escort, had stopped in Hawaii on a layover. We met at a cocktail reception, and he followed me around the hors d'oeuvre table. The room was packed with interesting people. But his quick wit and easy manner made me want to stay at his side and ignore everyone else. I didn't know anything about him or his heroic military history. I did know that he looked extremely handsome in his dress whites. When he invited me out for a drink, I discovered he was also smart and well-read. Is there such a thing as love at first sight? I went back home to Phoenix with my parents, and John went on to China, but we didn't stop thinking about each other. He managed to call me from China, which wasn't easy in those days. Shortly afterwards, I got a bad case of bronchitis and ended up in the hospital. He called me at 10 p.m. one night, and I thanked him for the lovely bouquet of flowers he had sent. He said, "I'm so glad you like them." We talked a bit more and then hung up. Only much later, after we were married, did I discover that the flowers had come from another John I knew. He took credit, and we laughed for years about it. We began a long-distance relationship. We had no email in those days, and it always felt wonderful to get John's letters, which were soulful and thoughtful and often filled with funny details about his work travels. I went to Washington, D.C. a couple of times with my family, since my dad often had business there, and John and I would get together for drinks and for dinner. Each time we met, his intellect and his understanding of world events left me awed. Certainly none of the guys I dated in college had such maturity. The more we talked, the more I yearned to spend my whole life exploring the world with him. I was still insecure enough to wonder how such a worldly man could be interested in me. My own experiences seemed so limited in comparison. But John asked questions about my life and seemed eager to understand my background and experiences. He made sure that I felt like his equal. And it wasn't all serious conversations. He had a way of telling stories that kept me laughing. Being with him was just simply fun. I never felt quite as happy as I did when he was around. John was still in the Navy then, and his work commitments kept him busy. When he finally came to Phoenix to visit me, I saw him in civilian clothes for the first time, rather than his slick Navy uniform. My mom was an elegant dresser, and I always tried to emulate her classical, tasteful, and refined style. John arrived on my home turf in a pink Lacoste shirt and red checked pants. I gulped and thought, oh my, how could I date a man who dressed like that? But then I looked at his warm smile and his expressive eyes, and his mismatched style didn't matter. I realized I'd fully fallen for him. I liked being part of his life. If it came right down to it, I could help with the whole clothes situation. John had been such a celebrated POW that I was slightly embarrassed to admit that I hadn't previously known about him or his experiences being imprisoned and tortured for 5 years in Hanoi. He was careful about how he shared his stories with me, usually leavening the terrifying events with his own brand of humor. In part, he didn't want to scare me. but it was also intrinsic to John to keep a light touch and a positive view. It's the same outlook that helped him survive the unthinkable circumstances in the first place.